Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.
My next guest, he's one half of a great couple, Miled and Mel. Miled, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Luca. Thank you for having me. I like the introduction.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, it's creative.
Do you identify as Jay-Z in any way?
No, I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial.
You're a millennial too, right?
I'm on the cusp. So 1982, I think I'm the first year technically as a millennial.
It will take you in.
It'll take me.
I'm 1990, so I'm like the right millennial.
Oh, you're fresh. You're in
90s. I am the millennial.
Yeah. See, I still remember that World Cup. It was in Italia 90, the Football World Cup.
Okay.
And I still remember watching that World Cup.
Who won in the 1990?
It was Germany.
Germany. Okay.
Yeah, it's the Germans.
Yeah.
They beat Argentina, I think, 1-0 in the final. So yeah, you're a 90s kid.
Yes.
That's okay. I don't mind that.
You don't mind it?
I don't mind
I
that.
I love it.
I meet some people these days who are born in 2000. I'm like, yeah. I just don't understand what you're talking about. I have no idea.
Bet.
Yeah.
They say bet a lot. I don't know why.
Oh, vibes. They say vibes.
Yeah,
vibes.
Vibing, yeah.
I'm really happy to have you on
Thank
the show.
You so much,
obviously, Dave. Your other half, your better half or your non-better half, whatever the case is, Mel is not here.
Yeah.
You call her Mel or Melissa?
I call her Mel. Melissa is fine, so whatever.
Okay. And what does she call you?
Milo.
Mila, when you're nice, but when you're naughty, what does she call you?
Miled Burahal, the full name.
You've created, obviously, a lot of success off the back of the Rahal page,
yes.
Right? There's a lot I want to talk to you about today. I'm really excited to have you on the show, so
thank you.
I always kick off talking about my guest's mug. What have you brought in today?
I want you to guess.
I can see it says the Rahal on it, and you're waving, coming down from a plane, it
yes,
looks like.
Yes, and... It has to...
I came, I saw, and I blogged.
Okay. So this is the first... When I launched the page, it was about travel, and you know that.
Yeah.
So, and I went full on with the branding. I don't know why. I felt like I wanted to do it all.
By the way, you're quite jacked in that picture. I mean, you look...
I was jacked in my 20s. I will send you a picture. Maybe you can put it.
Okay,
so they can see how I was. So I went full on with the branding. And I didn't put Mel in, although we started it together.
Yeah.
But we weren't married.
You took an executive decision.
I felt it was a bit... Too early. A commitment.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, you know what? We're not going to call it the Rahal because we're not the Rahal.
We're not
yet.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it the Rahal. Like, what if we break up? And she was like, why is he so analyzing the name so far? So I did a website, mugs, logo, whatever. And then I killed it after a few years.
I love it. You know, in that episode, there's an episode in Friends where I think Ross is dating some girl and they talk about Chris sending out a Christmas card, right?
Yeah.
And it's too early to send out a Christmas card to both of them. On the. So with you, we're like, we're not quite at the mug stage yet.
Exactly.
Have you got an actual picture of your wife on another mug?
No, because after that, like, it wasn't important anymore. And then we changed the whole branding. And when we opened TikTok, which was like 2 years later, she was like, why don't we call our page on TikTok Miled and Melissa?
Mm.
I'm like,
No.
Yes.
Abort.
No, we called it.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay.
I was like, but you know, maybe we can keep like the Rahal brand all over
because
social media.
Because that's how I know you. I know you as the Rahal.
Because you're not on TikTok.
Generational
Yeah, but
thing.
Like, let them memorize our names.
Yeah.
You know, she was studying it this way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're right. And then you deserve a spot.
Very nice.
In the name.
What about her family name? What's her original?
Muzannar.
Does that have the same ring to it, would you say, if you had that on a mug?
No. Right?
Yeah.
And also the Rahal, because Rahal in Arabic, you're not good in Arabic.
Journey.
Means, like,
nomad.
The nomad or like the traveler.
Thikram.
So that's why the name came.
Don't worry, I did my research on you, my friend.
You're good.
I did my research.
Love it.
Obviously, you started off not in creating funny content. You started a while ago in mechanical engineering.
Yeah, that's what I studied.
That's so random, right?
Yeah.
And I learned that you were... Big time, you were strong at maths, you were great at physics, and also you kind of liked a little bit of film directing and all that kind of stuff. But you decided to go the safe route and go down the path of having a proper job.
Very well put.
You did that for what, 10 years, give or take?
10 years, yeah.
Yeah, and then you said, you know what, COVID's here, let's try something else.
I studied engineering because it was the safe road and I was good at math and all of that. But in the back of my mind, I always wanted to do film directing and all of this. But in Lebanon, like, the opportunities was not very big, and I... kind of threw the idea, but I didn't receive any cheering from around me.
Yeah.
But I was not stubborn for this. Like, I didn't put my foot down in the ground and said, no, I want to do this. I was just like, also deep down, I was not convinced or I didn't believe in myself or whatever it is, because I come from a small village. So for us, like, being a film director, it's not, I don't have any connection with that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I'm going to go down that route and I'm good in math or whatever. And the first year in university, I realized like this shit is not for me, you know? Yeah. But I didn't quit. I don't know why. Yeah. I was miserable during my university years from a like education point of view.
Yeah.
But it was like those years were the best from friends and going out.
And you had some fun.
Yeah, I had some fun. Yeah.
On that note, on my show, I always ask guests for a safe word. If there's a question that I ask that they don't want to answer, they usually give me a safe word. What's your safe word?
I'm going to give you a crypto because I really don't like crypto. And
you don't like crypto? Okay.
I'm not into crypto. Okay. So I don't think it's going to be a topic anyway. So that's why I like crypto.
Well, you never know. Those bag of balls over there. You never know what's in them. You never know what's in them. So let's go back to university. So you had fun at your university days.
Yeah, I had fun.
What kind of fun were you getting up to? Is this a crypto moment?
Crypto. No, I had fun. But my most fun years, I would say, is when I came to Dubai after I graduated. Because I, like the job I took, it was, they took us as graduates and they wanted us to maybe do some training. But it was more like fun.
Yeah.
And give a 23-year-old a good salary with no responsibility, no aspiration for future whatsoever. So the first 2 years in Dubai maybe were like the best years of my life, I would say.
You probably thought at the time, you don't know how long you're going to stay here, right?
Exactly. No, yeah. I'm coming here for like a couple of years.
Like I mean, everyone's
and that. Leaving.
Yeah.
But then...
you did a year in Saudi before you came to Dubai.
I did a year in
Saudi. How was that?
It was not very good because also I was like, my job was on site in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere, doing like pure... petroleum engineering. So I was like miserable from all sides. I'm like, I didn't have a social life. I don't like my job. Like, what am I doing here? So that's when I applied to Dubai.
It's like you're thinking at that moment, life decisions.
Exactly. Yeah.
So look, fast forward. When did you meet your wife?
In 2016.
We 2016. Met. Okay. And in 2017, did you start making a little bit of content?
Yeah, in 2017, we became an official couple. She was living abroad. She was not here.
When did you meet?
We met in Lebanon,
okay.
But she used to live in China and I used to live here. So it was a bit of a mess in the beginning. And I was like, no, we're not going to start a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
But we kept on talking. And then in 2017, she came to Dubai. She found a job here.
Yeah.
She might have done it because I'm here. We don't know. I'm convinced
she did, but
she might say otherwise.
So who made the move? You or her?
It was a back and forth.
So It was you. It wasn't
No. When I met her, she was like, I met her in Lebanon and then I want to go out with you.
Okay.
She was like, but I'm traveling to UAE in 4 days. I'm like, let's meet. And no.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we didn't meet in Lebanon.
She was testing you and she wanted.
No, I have a lot. I'm tired. I'm like, what are you, 50? I'm like, let's go out. And she said no. Then when she came here, I said, okay, I'm going to give you one last chance if you want to go out. Because I didn't get the vibe. Do you want to go out with me or you're just really tired or busy or testing? So I was not really sure. So she came from Abu Dhabi to Sharjah. But when she came, like there was 25 of my friends. So I didn't feel comfortable, you know, talking to
her
so
much. I'm
sure
she didn't feel that comfortable either with that many.
But she was shocked that I didn't give her any attention.
Okay.
And then she left. And then she left after a couple of hours. And then after that, I texted her, why did you leave? I'm like... She said, okay, this man is crazy.
He's got issues. You've obviously become a bit of a power couple in this region. And obviously you've just had a baby a year and a half now, Francis, half, is that right?
Yeah.
How's fatherhood treating you?
It's great, yet...
look at that face. It's great. It's a wonderful...
I love it. But I don't know if they don't tell us how hard it is or you don't listen. You don't listen.
No one tells you.
No, they tell you, but you don't listen.
You know what I found was the first time I held my eldest, I didn't have that overwhelming feeling of, oh my God, this is an amazing feeling. So I thought something was wrong with me because the first time I held Matthew, I was like, okay, this is nice. It's a bit weird, but it wasn't like, oh, my whole life has changed. I'm in love. And
I love this.
I didn't have that.
It's the same for me.
You had the same thing.
I love
so
it,
when I do speak to other dads, they tell me the same thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thunderbolt kind of
because
moment.
Because we were not pregnant with the child for 9 months. So you don't have that connection. And it's all like Hollywood, in my opinion. You know?
Yeah.
For me, it hit me when we came back home after 3 days. That's when I cried. I didn't cry when I first saw him. I was happy. I was also worried for Mel's health and for his health. So there's a lot going on in my head. So I didn't realize that he is here. He's my son. So I realized it after 3 days. But also what, like the love I have for him, it came gradually and exponentially after that. I think it's the same
for him, 100%. Right? Do you remember the first time you drove home from the hospital with him in the car? How slow did you go?
So slow.
Yeah.
Plus Mel doesn't like my driving at all.
Okay.
So it's already an issue within our couple, but she was so stressed. I was so stressed. we have a human being
in the back. This little thing.
Yeah, and he's so small for the car seat. I'm like, what?
I was like, any car that was coming near me, just stay away. Please get away.
I was surprised that the hospital gave me this, trusted me with this. Like, are you sure you're giving
That's
me
exactly,
this?
That's exactly, brother. We had the same conversation. You're giving me this baby. We are not equipped to feed it. And they just give it, you're like, this is a human, this is an actual real thing.
Exactly.
But I'm sure you're a great dad. Has it changed you? And has it also impacted the type of content that you're creating now as well?
Definitely changed me, because I think you're no longer the main character in your life. At least it's for me like this. Maybe some other, maybe for you it's different. But for me, you feel like you're not the main character in your life.
You're not.
Like, you schedule everything around them. Yeah. And you always, even if you're going for 3 days without him, you're thinking about him. Is he okay? Am I, the guilt kicks? And then you have to deal with your wife, who's dealing with a lot of changes, physical, hormonal, mental. So it's a lot to take in, and it will definitely change you. And if it doesn't change anyone, it means that they're not into it.
How did your relationship with Mel change after you had a baby?
The first, it was a bit hard. I mean, you have to accommodate, but then it gets stronger because you have a common love that...
Yeah, but common thing. Man.
Common thing that you love so much. Yeah. But it's tough. It needs a lot of work when you have a baby.
It does.
For you, how was it?
Look, I'll be honest. Me and my wife, we always said that no matter what happened, we would always be each other's priority. So if we had one baby, two babies, whatever, we would always make sure that we treat each other as the number one.
That's great.
And I think if I'm a kid and I'm growing up and I see how much my parents love each other and prioritize each other, that sets all the right examples for future
but
generations.
But could you maintain this even in the first few weeks, months of the babies? That's when you lose the perception of the other person.
So things like the romance bit, if you like, it doesn't go. It does change, but I appreciated her so much more after she had the baby. Exactly. Seeing what I went through. Man, it's tough, man. They go through so many, like you said, so many different things.
Yeah, I'm not talking just about romance, everything.
Yeah.
I was not her priority, but... Also, me taking care of the baby is putting her as a priority, because it's giving her time to rest or to sleep or to whatever. So I feel like whatever you do while helping, it's just helping the other parent too.
But you realize that you'll always have this in the back of your mind. If, if you're sick and your son is sick, where's the priority from your wife?
For my son. Course.
From your wife, so you had that conversation already.
Yeah,
I had it. Okay, so
we can handle it. We can handle sickness.
So
it depends on what do you mean by sick?
The level,
flu. Okay, but I mean,
I had the flu recently. My son had the flu recently. Do you know how much attention I got from my wife?
I feel like you're
the answer already. I wish I got a mug with just myself on. It would be so much easier. So 2017, you started creating a travel blog, right? Or a vlog, whatever you want to call it. You and Mel just traveling the world and doing some stuff. And you had fun, right? You had fun doing it.
So
but since then, you and her and the way in which you create content has evolved...
Tremendously.
In a completely different type of way. So how would you describe the type of content that you both create?
I want to put it in a simple way. It's like comedy... couple comedy or lifestyle comedy. So it always have a touch of comedy. Sometimes it's not like a pure comedy, but the comedy is the core of it. And it's fascinating because I didn't plan this. We did it by coincidence, and then I felt like I'm really enjoying this. And this is a type of content that gets a lot of engagement. So it also gives you a lot of reward when you create it, because people relate to it. And you can send a lot of messages within the comedy. You can pass on a lot of messages. So I felt it's a great way for me to express myself in a way that people are appreciating at the same time. Because if you're talking alone, no one is listening, it gets dull after some time.
Yeah, your business partner is your wife.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm. How has it helped your relationship, if at all? Has it brought you guys closer, or has it impacted your relationship?
It brought us closer together, and we feel like we always... have a baby before having a baby. So we have something to discuss all the time. We have a same goal. And when you as a couple have the same goal, it really gets you closer to each other if you are doing it the right way, of course.
What if you had a massive argument the night before? Because that happens.
We used to
the next morning, you got to shoot together.
No, it happens mid-shoots. To be honest, not the next morning.
Yeah.
So because I'm a bit picky in terms of the style of shooting and all of it. And in the beginning, I was not we didn't know what we know now. So we used to really have big arguments mid shooting. And then after that, we got to a point where we're really professional. If we have an argument outside work, we don't let it affect it, because we say, okay, let's pause this. Now we're shooting. Or if I said something that she doesn't like while shooting, she's like, we'll talk later.
How many in-jokes do you guys have that no one else, because if you've had a fight or you've had a little conversation beforehand? So there's an in-joke with just you two. Do you do that much?
Yes, but also like the crew who film us, they know it by now.
Are they in your house, these guys?
Yeah, yeah, like most of the times, yeah. You know, like 4 or 5 times a week. So I think we have to give them a room.
So how does that feel when you wake up in the morning and you see like just a bunch of random dudes in your
now
house?
I like it because they really help us, yeah. You know? Yeah. And then they know us. And sometimes we're fighting and it gets on camera. Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. At the beginning, I was doing the editing.
Okay.
But then after that, okay, I need an editor because you cannot do it all. And then like, how he will watch our fights?
Yeah. So, well, the cameraman can start becoming your sort of therapist in a way, right?
He is. He is. And he always takes my side and Mel, it pisses Mel off.
Yeah, that's what he's telling you, but he's telling her something
exactly.
else.
Exactly. He's amazing. Yeah. He's our therapist. Yeah.
When you go out and you do things without her, do you like that? Do you like having your own? Because you're part of a double act. Do you enjoy also being in a single person when you're...
I enjoy it sometimes, but like this in a podcast, maybe I enjoy it more because having a podcast with two people, I realize like it's a bit, or an interview or whatever, you have to like, don't overstep each other's, you know, or like the interviewer sometimes is like, this is for Mel, this is for Mila.
Yeah.
But I enjoy having events with her, attending events, trips. I enjoy it more with her, actually.
What would her safe word be if she was here?
Like for Mel, podcast is not her thing. So she doesn't like public speaking as much as I do. So I like to talk more than she does. But in terms of events, I really miss her if she's not there. It's nice to have like two people in an event. It's easier to socialize, by the way. And I like to have fun while she's around.
It's a crutch almost, right? When you're together and you can always just buddy up and you just feel like someone's literally got your back, which is fantastic.
I've made trips without her and I made trips with her because when she was like pregnant and all, like I did one or two trips like work related without her, and I really didn't enjoy it as much as I would if she was there. And I was always like on the phone like telling her I met this, I did that, so I always prefer if she's there.
Yeah, we've got a common friend, me and you.
Really?
Nadumi. You know Nadumi?
Nads.
Yeah. His mug is still up there.
Really? Yeah. What mug did he bring?
He's not getting it back.
Nadumi.
He brought the friend's mug. We had a good chat. He's a very nice guy.
I love Nadumi.
Very nice guy.
I love.
He's agreed to go on a double date to go watch a movie together. You want to join?
Yes, of course.
I'll have to ask Nads. I'm not sure if Nad.
Okay, so now it's you and Nad versus me.
I don't know much about creating content. This is new to me.
But you're doing so well, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Like, have you done anything in front of a camera before? Because you're a natural.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you. I haven't.
Really?
I haven't.
Wow.
Work-wise, I used to do a lot of public speaking. So standing on a stage and speaking to people doesn't bother me.
That helps.
Pre-recording things, they don't faze me that much, generally speaking. I love improv, so improv is one of my favorite things to do.
Okay, so you have a lot of
So there's little things that I've got some experience, but I've never done anything like this before.
No, but you're really a natural. It's not. I'm not saying this because I'm here, but this is one of the things that told me to come because I've seen like your other podcasts, other episodes, and like this dude is good.
Very. This is sponsored. This episode by Miled, so I appreciate it.
Subscribe to the channel. What are you waiting for?
Okay, so I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Would you ever do things without your wife and go solo?
Well, I think it depends. It depends. I want us to, like, each one of us do something for himself. And sometimes, and now, for example, we are working on Mel's page alone to have her persona online also, because I like to keep this as a plan B. It's not because I want to, but because I like to diversify my risk, if you may. So... maybe I see myself, if I'm directing, of course, I'm not going to direct with her. So if I'm going to get at some point in movies, maybe create my own movie or my own series. So maybe, yeah, it's an option. It's not a no-go, but it will depend on what the opportunity is. Okay. And I also want her to have her own opportunities because I personally think that she's a great actress. So maybe she will get her own roles.
Look, what you guys are doing is great. And I've watched so much of your content and I've realized that you take truths, you take things that we can all relate to and then you just dramatize it more and more.
Exactly.
The hairdresser one, which I quite liked, which is relatively recent, I think.
Yeah, it's last week.
Yeah, yeah, I really like that because again, it happens all the time.
Yeah,
there was one which had the cockroach. Is that the cockroach?
Yeah, that one for Netflix.
That was mental.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite videos.
When you're coming up with these ideas, do you have a process or do you see something? Yeah. How does it work?
In the beginning, it started like completely organic. And, you know, I was like trying things. But now I have a process. It's a formula, if you want, that I adopt, especially when it's a sponsored piece of content. For example, the cockroach one with Netflix. I did it for Stranger Things. So they wanted to promote the Stranger Things season 4, okay? And for me, I know my audience. Maybe 20% of them would know what Stranger Things is, you know, because we are in the region. Not everyone watches English.
Yep.
So I always want to create a piece of content that is relatable to everyone, even if you are not a fan of Stranger Things. So this is when I start, okay, I need to add something that is relatable in the world of Stranger Things, that as a fan of Stranger Things, you're going to appreciate it. And if you don't know anything about the show, you're going to still enjoy this piece of content.
Yeah.
And this is the formula that I always adopt when doing a piece of content.
Branded content specifically is
branded
easier.
Branded and non-branded, okay. It has to be relatable.
Okay.
And if it's a branded, it has to be relatable plus enjoyable so people can watch it and don't feel like they are watching an advertisement.
If you don't enjoy doing it, no one's going to enjoy watching it.
Exactly.
Right. You must have so much fun at work. Yeah. I mean, that's a weird thing, isn't it?
Like, exactly.
Your job is basically...
And you feel guilty.
Because you're enjoying it.
Yes.
And you're getting paid to
yes.
do it.
You feel so much guilt.
That's why.
Now I look at my life and I look at my life before and I feel guilty. Maybe because I'm over like sensitive guy in a way like I feel with others. But I would feel like, yeah, maybe I don't deserve this. But then I look back and I say, no, I deserve it.
Yeah.
So when you have so much fun, it's the best thing.
Look, if you're talented, you're doing what you love and you can get paid for it. I mean, you're living the dream. That's literally...
Exactly.
Know. But when people, like you said, if you're doing something that you like so much and you feel, is bad karma around the corner? Is this going to last? Yeah. Do you worry about that? Do you worry that all of a sudden that things will no longer be the same?
Of course, especially that content creators, I feel like we are athletes in a way. So you have a timestamp on your career. So because people get bored of you or maybe you run out of passion or you become outdated. Like I've never seen a content creator goes for so long that it is worrying sometimes. But that's when I start planning or working on other plan Bs.
Like your wife.
something beyond content creation, you know, because I need to. But still not in my peak years, I feel. I feel
you're a baby, you're still a baby. Look, what do you want? And here's
it's
the thing.
Not about age, by the way.
Yeah.
Like I've seen content creators who died on their 28th.
Yeah.
Died, I mean, online. Not.
But you know what makes you better, in my opinion, is life experience.
Yeah.
So the content you're making now that you're a dad, is different,
exactly.
Okay, to how it would have been 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Content in 5 years, 6 years, and shut up, you have more kids or the kids get a bit older, et cetera, and how you see the world and your experiences will also change.
So exactly.
That maturity. Look, when I launched this, I didn't want to do it in my 20s because honestly speaking, what am I going to bring to the world? What am I going to be able to add?
I agree.
When I'm in a slightly older position, and I've got a little bit more life experience behind me, it just makes things easier to relate, you know what I mean? So,
how did it feel to like start something? It's not late, but I mean, in your 40s and something brand new from
40?
Scratch.
Do I look 40 by the way?
You don't. You told me yesterday. That's why I know.
Yeah.
You look my age.
That's not very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
How did it feel?
Yeah. Like, were you scared? Like, what am I doing?
The first season, like, I didn't even, up until the last moment, I didn't even know if I was going to press the live button.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd pre-recorded it, sat on it for a while. I was debating about it. I was asking people about it. Shall I? Shall I? And I was like, you know what? In the end, my wife pressed the button. And I'm so glad I did it. I'm really glad I did it because it's the first time in my life that I'm doing something that I really want to do. And I don't feel that guilt that I would normally associate. Because a bit like you coming, look, my dad's Lebanese, right? And growing up in the region, you know, they always tell you, focus on your studies, education, like everywhere, not just this region,
course,
I guess.
Yeah.
But you know, you always feel like you've got to play it smart. You've got to play it safe.
Safe.
And I did that. I was ticking boxes. I grew in the corporate ladder, the 9-to-5 thing. I did that for 20 years. So believe me, I know the challenges associated with it. But I'm better because of it.
Exactly.
I'm better now doing this
Same.
because of that experience.
Same.
So no complaints.
I feel I have an upper hand over other creators in that sense. Because for the creators who didn't experience corporate life or whatsoever, you feel like they lack... in some areas of like business management, because what other people, like what viewers don't understand is doing this as a full-time job, it requires a lot of business management, finance. You need to know how to talk to people,
yes.
to reply to emails. Even if you have a manager, you have to manage your manager at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So having like just creating content, it will get you places. But if you have this extra business in mind, and that's why they call me, maybe, I don't know, the godfather of creators. They all ask me, like, what do we do now? What do we do now? What do you think about this? How much do I price this?
Yeah.
So because I have this 9 to 10 years in it was not like, for me, it was commercial engineering. It was not like pure engineering. So what I was doing is like bidding on projects. So I have a lot of like finance and then, you know, pricing background. And I've used it so much in making my content creation career getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think I have a leverage. And I enjoyed that I did the corporate life. Not that I was enjoying it, but I'm happy that I could use the tools that I learned from that.
When you wake up, and if you're not in the mood to create content, because it must happen. You've had a heavy night the night before.
If it's organic, I don't create it.
Okay.
There's nothing that can make me create. But if it's an ad, and that's why sometimes I feel like it is a job.
So you know there's money behind it. You'll just.
It's a job.
It's a job. It's a job.
I just recall my corporate life. Yeah. I don't like going to work now today, but I have to.
And the first time you made a bit of money was during COVID, right? You made a few hundred dollars, I think, from a bit of content. And you started thinking, oh, you had a bit of an aha moment, right?
Yeah.
This could actually, we could do, if we make $500 or $600, whatever it is, you can make more.
Funny thing is that I was doing this and I didn't have money in the back of my mind. Like I was doing the content creation, maybe hoping, I don't know, they would sponsor a trip for me. I was doing travel at the beginning. And then I wanted to stop at some point. And Mel was like the believer in this. She was like, other people are doing it. Why do you think that you can do it? And I'm sure that you are better than 90% of everyone who's doing it now. So you have to believe in yourself. I'm like, you know what? I hit my 30. It was my 30th birthday and it was really down for me. Because I've been doing content creation for like 3 to 4 years, $0 in. I'm not paying attention to my corporate career because I'm putting all my focus here. It's leading nowhere. I have 15,000 followers on Instagram, which is nothing for someone who's been doing it for 4 years. And I was like, I'm so depressed. And my 30th birthday came and I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
So, but she said, let's keep on. I feel we're so close. And this is when I made my...
You can taste it, almost taste it. Yeah.
I made my... $250 from my first ad. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you know what you spend that money on? Do you remember?
I didn't spend it.
You didn't spend it.
I created a bank account for social media. Nice. And I just wanted to make enough money to be able to quit my job. This is when, like, my first 4 years of content creation, passion was the drive. The next 2 to 3 years, money was the drive. Now I'm back to passion as my drive because it changes. Because you don't have to have one drive that's driving you all your career, you know? So when I started making money, money became the drive because I wanted to prove to myself that I can do this for a living and I want to quit my 9-to-5 job. So
when you were speaking to your, you've got a big family, you've got 4 sisters,
yeah.
Is that right? So when you're going back to your family and you say, mom, dad, look, I'm kind of ditching the engineering thing and I'm getting into creative content. Yeah. Do your family know Instagram? Do they understand?
When I told them, it was like after 1 year of making money out of it. And then I knew that I was confident with it. But I love the question because it's so weird. Even if you are in your 30s, if you want to tell your parents something like this, it feels like you're 10.
You're naughty. You're doing something naughty.
Sorry, Dad, I ate more chocolate than I should have. So, yeah, I asked my dad. I trust his advice. And when I told him, like, I feel that I might transition into this full time, he said, are you, like, doing enough of it? You think this could sustain? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
He was like, go for it.
Look, having 4 sisters is not easy.
No.
I've got 2. I've got a brother as well.
You got a brother. You're 4?
We're 4. Do you find that because you came from a household of generally women, that made you somehow more closer to girls in a way, and that your relationship with Mel is dependent based on your overall love for women or your big growing up being surrounded by them from a young age? Do you think that's helped you?
It helped me tremendously because I understand women in a way. I grew up with women.
So you're the woman whisperer.
Yeah. And sometimes Mel, like, don't be my therapist now. I don't need you to tell me what's happening. Just like, shut up. You know, but I understand women. And this helped me a lot through my life. I always had like girlfriends, like friends who are girls and then girlfriends. And it helped me with Mel a lot. So because I understand out of experience, not because
I'm going to show my age now. So there was a movie called What Women Want. It was with Mel Gibson. Have you ever heard this movie?
I know Mel Gibson, but I don't know.
Yeah, so there's a movie called What Women Want, and he basically has a bit of an accident, and he wakes up the next day, and he can listen to what women are saying inside their heads.
Oh, wow.
So he could basically speak woman language.
Yeah,
yeah. Should watch the movie. Anyway. Part of the show, I go into a bit of an improv section.
Okay.
Right, where I'll ask you to pick out a ball, read it out, and then we'll talk about it. Sound good?
Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Do a bit of improv.
9 to 5, rate out of 10.
So 9 to 5, what would you rate it out of 10?
If it's in the right like industry that you like, it's not a bad thing. It gives you a good sense of stability. So I don't hate 9 to 5 in general, like to be completely honest. Because something I realized, no matter what you do, you're going to be tied up to a 9 to 5. Now I am a content creator. I can do whatever I want. But on the days that 9 to 5 are working, I am working. And on the days, like my quiet days are weekends and holidays. Besides that, you always have a client, because if you're making money, there's someone paying. And if there's someone paying, he is a part of the 9 to 5. So you are tied up to the 9 to 5 in a way. But now I like have more freedom. I can do whatever I want. So 9 to 5 to me was not like a bad thing. It was like what I was doing. So I would rate it 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. And now what would you rate your 9 to 5?
My 9 to 5
your
now?
Your current 9 to 5.
Now I like, it's 1,000,000 out of 10. I love what I'm doing. And it took me so much to be able to say it out loud, but I really love what I'm doing.
I love the fact that you mentioned earlier 9 to 5 and this came up, you see?
Exactly.
You see? Creative, Habibi, creative. Ooh. Spooky. Yeah. All right, let's do another ball.
Is viral a dangerous word for creators?
So you understand a little bit of context. A lot of people, when they want to create content, in the back of their mind, it's always like, we need to create a viral campaign. Advertisers talk about creating a viral campaign. And that's a very dangerous word, because the way in which the content is then created could either be too extreme, too deliberate, and not authentic, and ironically will never be viral. So is it a dangerous word?
It is very dangerous. And it's very dangerous for those who don't know how to use it correctly. Or like you mentioned, the ways to go viral, it can be either because you're so silly or you tapped on a very controversial side of things. And for us, it was never like the goal to go viral. And for me, if I want to describe our content creation journey, it's more of like step by step, and we built it. Sometimes I say, like, I feel like I carried the followers over my back, because it didn't happen overnight for me, and I don't know how it feels. And that's why also people tell us that you are humble and you are like, you stayed normal, because in my head I'm still working towards what I want to achieve. So I didn't post a video, slept, the other day I have 1,000,000. I still don't have 1,000,000 on Instagram, because I'm also not buying followers. But I mean, so for me, it's not about going viral. It's about what you are putting content out there and how people are perceiving you. For me, the image was more important than going viral and number. Because I had a 9 to 5, I'm an engineer, I have like this social status, you know, and my wife was doing her PhD. So we didn't allow ourselves to go into that cringe or like do things like out of the norm just to go viral. Because if you go viral one time over something silly, okay, and then next, what's the value that you're presenting? What's the image that you want to put in the world? And we are harvesting this now, because brands want to work with us because of our image, not because of our numbers only. Yeah. Or because of our influence.
But I'm sure in the briefs that they give you, they talk about, we want a viral campaign.
Yes.
That must have come up so many times.
Of course.
What do you say to them about that, about the process?
I tell them and this is what I always tell all my clients, I'm going to work on this campaign the same way I'm working on every campaign. I'm going to pour my heart and soul into it, my creativity. I'm going to try to make it relatable and engaging. But then it's up to the ultimate god of content, which is the algorithm.
We'll talk about algorithms. You might find a ball or two.
Yeah.
What is the best campaign that you've seen that did actually go viral?
Most of our campaigns are doing very good, because whenever it is a campaign, I put so much more effort than doing the organic content, to be completely honest with you. Because I feel like this brand is coming and investing a big amount of money. I have to give them back what they
are. But outside of you, anyone you've seen or any campaigns that you've seen, like, wow, that was a brilliant.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you examples. Like, I loved Nike's commercial that they did for the Arab world. Like, anyone can do it. And it featured a lot of like kids, women, and people from all over the social.
Yeah.
I love this campaign. But I'm a big consumer of ads, because I have to create ads. So I need to watch ads. And yes. There's a lot of good ads out there.
There's a lot of bad ads out there.
Also.
Yeah.
You know what I hate? The sexual ads. I feel it's very cheap. Not that I don't appreciate the humor. I joke about this in my normal life a lot. But to put it on a label and on a product and to try to sell with this, I feel it's so cheap. Or the racist ones. I feel like it's so outdated, 90s. We need to be better than this. Not that we have to be very, you know, safe and gender equal, like
But don't you feel things are getting a bit safe? Because I would have said the opposite. I would have said advertising is playing it too safe now. Everything is too much censored.
I feel there's a sweet spot of like, don't spoon feed me. Like, we love everyone and diversity, and we have to have all everyone in the same commercial. But at the same time, like, don't go so cheap to a point like there's no creativity in it.
Yeah,
you know, what sells it to me is the creativity. If it's creative, no matter where on the scale of controversial it is, I love it. But it has to be creative.
I'm with you. Another ball. Should we do this?
Creativity.
Look at what you just talked about.
I mean, who's putting balls in this bag?
It's almost like I know what I'm doing. It's almost like I know how
you're
to write questions.
Creativity. Yeah, coachable or characteristic?
So can you teach, can you coach someone to be creative, or is it innate? Is it characteristic of the individual themselves?
It's a bit of both. Like, I feel like...
You don't sit on the fence.
No. Some people are more creative than others, but, and this is very important, creativity is a muscle. You need to train it. And the more you do it, the more you get better at it. Because if I want to look at myself, I don't want to judge or like talk about other people. The creativity I had, like, I have creativity. I am a creative person, okay? And I hear that a lot, and I'm confident in saying it because I know what I'm doing, okay? But the creativity I had 2 years back is different than the creativity I have now. So now I know what to do with it. So it is a muscle. You need to watch a lot. You need to criticize yourself. You need to watch the piece of content that you did and say, ah, this I could have done better here and there. So it's not like someone is born creative and he's not doing anything and that's it. But if I want to give like a straightforward answer, I feel it's more characteristic than coachable. What do you think? You had a lot to say. I wanted to finish and then hear you.
Yeah, look, I don't like, look, when I ask questions like this, I generally don't like people who sit on the fence. I like people to, you know, to go.
No, it was not my intention. But.
Yeah. No, I think what you said about the creativity being a muscle and that you just need to train it, stretch it, work it. I think that's brilliant. I think that's exactly right. Look, I used to do a lot of public speaking and people say, oh, look, I want to be, how do we become such a great public speaker? And I said, I have no idea half the time what I'm doing, but I learn and I try and perfect myself over the period. And I, like you said, you watch yourself because I wouldn't do that. I would do this again. So you try and keep challenging yourself, but I don't know how to coach others.
No, you don't. It's not coachable.
I don't know how to do it. Maybe it is, but I don't know. So that's why I'd always say it's a characteristic.
Yeah.
And I think creativity comes in different forms as well, right? So visually it can be creative, or you can be creative in things like a bag of balls with some questions on it. So it really does depend. But I think training it is absolutely spot on.
But I mean, you have to find your creativity. Because, for example, if I want to talk about me and Mel, like, Mel is so creative in colors, designs, for example, fashion. You know, she is creative in her own way. And when it comes to videos and ideas, I'm more creative. And she tells me, like, how did you get up with this? How did you come up with this? How did you think about that? So everyone is creative in his own area, but you have to find the area that you are creative in.
There's a question in there that if you pick it out now, after what you've just said, it will be like, you know, eureka.
I'm going to leave.
Please let it be this one.
No. Algorithms.
There we go. What's that say?
Killer or enabler of creativity?
Are algorithms a killer or enabler of creativity? Do we make content now so the algorithms pick them up?
It's a killer, yeah.
Do we get inspired to be more creative off the back of it?
It's a killer for creativity, but if you want to make it on social media, you have to do the dance.
So can you do the dance? Do you have a dance?
Do the dance. You cannot hate on algorithm. I see a lot of creators like falling into this mistake. Just hating on algorithm is their personality now, you know? I hate on algorithm, but you have to play by its rules.
Mm.
And let's be honest, they changed the algorithm not to hurt creators, just for them to make more money or to compete between each other. And the moment you understand that you are not the center of things, the better for you. And I always hear like, now the trends are changing. Now more people are more into short form content. That was 2 years ago. Now people are more into long form content. It's not that. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, TikTok came into the play and it was a 15 second and people loved it. So Instagram wanted to compete with this Meta. So they started pushing Reels, which is short form content. YouTube wanted in, so they introduced Shorts. Now TikTok wanted to compete with YouTube's long form, so they are pushing the longer form, longer videos. Now Instagram is pushing the longer form. So it's a matter of competition between applications. And if you are a creator and you don't understand this and you don't follow this, you're just going to go...
So when you create a piece of content, you've got to think, about each of the different big tech algorithms that you have to sort of cater it to or tailor it to?
Or is it,
can you make it generic enough that it can be applied across
all? I make it generic. Sometimes I create a bit more for specific, for example, for TikTok. Sometimes we post other stuff that are more chill, less aesthetic on TikTok because we can over there, that I don't post on Instagram. But whatever goes on my Instagram page, for example, it goes on Shorts, it goes on...
So how many bits of content do you create on a weekly basis?
So it depends if we have ads or not, because sometimes it's a rule that I put, if I have like one or two ads a week, I have to balance it out with two organic videos, because I don't want people to feel like they're reading, just like advertisement.
That you've been,
I want to give them what they followed. So, but I would say not less than three, not more than five. So 3 to 5 depends on the week.
And then you think, okay, 3 to 5, then you've got to think about, right, well, how would it work on TikTok versus how would it work on Instagram?
Sometimes, with some minor tweaks. Like this will do better on TikTok, this will do better on Instagram, but I can live with that because I don't have time to create just for Instagram, just for TikTok now. So I have to create for both. And sometimes it goes viral on both, you know?
And when you're creating a piece of content that you know is not that great, it's okay, you're doing it because, you know, the algorithm will pick it up and it'll just, you know, will deliver against the metrics that the client wants. How do you feel about that?
I feel like it's fine. It's okay. Like, I know it's not my best of work and I know it's not a content that I enjoy creating, but this type of content, I don't put so much effort into it. For example, we were talking before about the beard one. When I shaved my beard, it's a filter. It took 5 minutes to film. And I posted it on TikTok. And then after a month, I didn't have anything to post on Instagram. And I said, you know what? Let me put it. But I was not convinced because it's not the image that I want to give about myself. Like I do easy content or I do filters or I do clickbaity stuff. But I put it and it got 4 million.
And the algorithms will pick that up. They'll learn, they'll adapt. And before you know it, you're producing more shaving.
So that's my role, is not to fall into the trap of this.
Okay.
Because if this did well with me and if I kept on doing it, so what is my identity? Just doing trends or just doing silly challenges?
That's what I mean.
Challenges?
That's where does it kill the creativity? Because you're literally, all you're doing is you're just feeding the machine.
Exactly.
And the machine, and let's be honest.
This is my role, not to fall into the trap of numbers. To balance it out and to always put content that I want to produce.
That's what I was looking for.
Balance it out, like 70-30.
Yeah,
you know?
Because we are obsessed about the numbers.
We are.
And that's the problem. And again, clients, advertisers spending money, they want to see the numbers. They want to be like, what does my return look like? And again, the algorithm will give it. But the problem is, again, why they picked you in the first place was because you're super creative.
Exactly.
So again, it's that balance that you talk
and
about.
And this is when I, if I have a clash with a client, I'm like, you came to me because you have watched what I do. So if you want something that goes viral and without any meaning to it, you can do it with other creators.
That's that word again, that viral word.
Yeah. I push back a lot with clients because for me, my image and like how people perceive the content we do is more important than an instant video that's going viral. And to be honest, we went viral several times. It doesn't change my life. I mean, okay, I grew 30,000 followers from this video. And then what's next? Why is it that people want to work with me? Who am I online? Am I just like a person who does trends or who does challenges? Or no, I'm more than this. I showed my creativity. We showed like we understand movies, we understand series. We can create content around that. We can create content around advertisement that goes viral. So it's not about...
Maybe you could get an Italian, Lebanese, Nigerian, English guy on your show.
Maybe.
Yeah, a little walk-on part. I just, you know, do a bit of starring.
I want to create something with you.
I'll be up for it. A bit of improv. I'm all in. I'm all in.
No, you're good. You're good with cameras and this is a good indication for
you. You're making me blush.
Okay, Luca, I want to give you an exercise to see if you're fit to act with us because there's a lot of acting in our content.
I'm ready.
So I want you to tell me what do you want to order for dinner.
Okay.
But you need to change your tone whenever I tell you. So you have to say it maybe you're sad, you're so excited. I'm not going to tell you what the emotions are, but you have to like change emotions whenever I tell you to. So let's go.
So I'm gonna order a salad.
Yeah.
It's going to have some tomatoes.
Tomatoes, yeah. You love tomatoes?
I do.
Yeah.
Maybe some cucumbers and some of those little chopped onions.
Oh my God.
I quite like that.
You have to go to the toilet now.
And I would also love some radish, actually. Radish is really nice. The secret to a good radish.
You're shocked.
That radish was so good.
Yeah?
Unbelievable. incredible.
Yeah, you like radish in
the salad. I love a good radish.
Yeah.
To be honest, I was a little bit surprised by that radish. Really? It hits you like that kind of forceful winter of, I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, I'm excited.
And what else, like, other than the salad, what would you
want? Am I still shocked, by the
You're
way?
You're still shocked, by the way.
The salad, when it came, it was early.
Yeah.
It arrived 20 minutes before the scheduled delivery time. I looked at the delivery driver, I said, fly here?
You're so happy.
And it was one of the best days of my life. One of the best days of my life. One of the best days of my life. The salad was early. I mean, how good is that?
Yeah.
You know? And now I'm talking to you and we're cutting Nadim out from this conversation entirely.
You just don't care. You don't give a
Like Nadim, I didn't like him that much anyway.
No, you have to stick to food.
I pivoted.
I found this is great. It's good, huh?
Right, time for another ball.
Who's funnier, you or Mel? Okay.
So remember I told you, I hope the next question comes out because you're talking about her.
Yeah.
That was that question.
But I mean, you covered everything I've said. I mean, we're both funny.
When I said don't sit on the fence, I meant it. Who's funnier, you or Mel?
But in what sense? In terms of like who writes the content that is funny, it's me.
No.
But I mean, Mel is such a funny person because she knows how to be silly and she...
Milo, who's funnier? You just saved your marriage. Next
she book. Is funny. I mean, she's funny.
Yeah.
She makes me laugh. And this is why I fell in love with her.
Is it hard?
Because I'm like, oh, beautiful and funny. Usually you don't see it.
Is it hard for you now to make her laugh? Because she knows, you knows you inside out. So it's really difficult for you now to get her to laugh, right?
Yeah. Because she used to laugh more at my jokes.
That's the story of every man.
Like it took like minimal effort to make her laugh. It's like, ha, ha. I'm like, I'm not joking. And now I would come up with an amazing joke. And I was like,
by the way, that's not just you.
Everyone?
Yes.
They get over us.
That's marriage. They and when babies us. Come along, believe me, they hate you for a period of time, right? Look what you did to me. You know, so...
I've seen a piece of stand-up comedy the other day. Like, it was a 10, 15 seconds. And it's brilliant. I love it. It's about dad jokes. So he said, like, when dads do, like, a lame joke, what do you call it? And then all the dad jokes, like... Yeah. Yeah, but this guy was funny 20 years ago. Yeah. But every time he was trying to make a joke, his wife was like, no, don't say this. Oh my God, we cannot say this. Not in our household. Come on, now. And then he stick to the lame dad jokes that we now know. So I think women in general, like wives in general, are jokes.
Would you ever do stand up yourself?
I don't know if I'm built for it. I love it. I love to watch it. I love to consume it. I don't know. Do you see me?
Look, I mean, it's comedy. You do comedy content, right?
But it's an art.
It's an art, yeah. But again, what is comedy content at the base of it? It's relating to the audience.
Yes.
And it's being able to have the confidence to give people entertainment.
The writing has to be very strong and you have to write in a certain way. Yeah. People think stand-up comedy is just going and speaking on the... It's not that. It's not throwing jokes. You have, if you notice and if you analyze the comedy shows, the stand-up comedy shows, it always starts in one place and then ends, wraps it up in the same place. That's when you know it's a good piece. And then they keep you, it's like watching a movie for like 1 hour and a half.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of writing that goes behind it and you have to test it out. So I feel it's very hard.
I'm going to end the show exactly how I started. You wait and see. All right, soon on the ball.
Kids and content, for or against? But not make them the center of the content. So something we made sure when Frankie was born is that we don't want him to be the star of the page. I'm not with like labor child. You know?
Sweatshop.
Child labor.
Sweatshop.
So
you see him picking up a camera as well. He's like,
he loves it now.
Does he?
He puts the tripod for us.
Does he?
But if you look at the page now, and really, like, do you feel like he's taking over?
No, it's organic. It's nice.
Yeah. Because also I don't want to hide him. Because he is part of our lives. And social media, you have to show character some places. So I don't want to be like one of those celebrities like hide their children's faces.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not going to happen. But it's intentional that he's not the center of the page. Because what if he's not in the mood? What if he doesn't like it? I don't know. I don't want to
exploit
him.
But also people will judge as well, right? That exploitative sort of notion where you're using your child to open up even more doors for advertisers, you know?
So far, like in 1 year and a half, over like 60, 70 commercials, he was featured in two. One of them was diapers and it was like inevitable and it was fun. But I told them the way we're going to do it is it's going to be unscripted. He's going to play. We're going to shoot whatever comes out of it. Because kids are, and you know, they are unpredictable. I cannot expect him to shoot with me 4 hours at this age and then call it a day. You know, it's not Possible.
So I did. So we were invited to do a Father's Day shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had to take my son Matthew, my eldest, to do the shoot with me. It involved like kicking the football to each other, involved buying some stuff from a store, et cetera, et cetera. And it was the hardest thing.
It's horrible.
And they're just not interested. Everything is a distraction. They just run over here. They go over there. You know, the cameraman is saying, can we do this again? I'm like,
no.
Do you want to ask him? Don't ask me. Why are you asking me? I've got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, especially at this age.
Yeah.
So it's a hard no for me.
You got to walk that line, Kev, because you want to make it about you as a family, because I think there's a human side that's endearing, but overstepping it and all of a sudden you're into a territory where your brand and your wife's brand, it's going to be difficult for it to be repaired.
I see these families like who have like YouTube channel with kids. I'm like, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Like filming a YouTube video, 8 minutes with kids around. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Because sometimes you feel tired as an adult.
They probably just leave they leave the camera on for 24 hours and see what happens. They take whatever snippets.
For me, like Frankie, the minute he sees the camera, he just wants to play with it. I'm like, how can I produce content with this?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm against it to be like a job for the kid. Mm. But if he's around, then it's cute.
I think this is the last one.
Last one.
Last one.
Top tip for branded content. Pop. Please talk a little bit.
What is the top tip that you'd give?
I have one tip, and it's really the top tip. How much do you pay for me to say it?
I'll give you that. I'll give you the piece of art behind us.
Okay, cool. Let's see. No, it has to be a win-win-win situation.
Okay. Win for the client, win for you, win for the audience.
That's it. Once you drop one win of it, it's not as good as you want it to be. If the client is not happy, no one wants a client that's not happy. It's not going to pay. It's not going to go live. Let's start with this. If you're not happy with it, it means like it's too branded or you're not enjoying it. You're gonna have like hard time creating it, actually. If the audience does not like it, it's not going to perform. Mm. So that's why I make sure always to produce a content that is shareable, relatable, even if it's branded, or especially if it's branded.
And when I come on as part of the content creation with you and your wife,
yeah,
it's going to be win, 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 win,
win, win, win, win.
There you go, mate. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
Bonnie and Clyde have got nothing on you. Jay-Z and Beyonce have got nothing on you.
Wrapping it up.
Mel and Mileda, a wonderful couple. I don't know your wife. I'd love to meet her in the future.
We'll go on a double date without Nadim.
We're cutting him out. I love that. I love that. No, but honestly, wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you so much.
You're doing some great stuff. You are very funny. You're both very, very funny. And you will continue to shine, no doubt.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed my time. I didn't feel it... at all, and go subscribe to the channel. What are you waiting for?
Look, he did that before me. If you like the content, guys, please like, subscribe, and share. I'll see you all very soon on the Inside Track.
Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.